word for that. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2 this evening. Luke in chapter 2, was praying this week about what I would preach out of, and the Lord directed me to this passage, and of course this is pretty much the Christmas passage that most people look to. Our family, we have a habit on Christmas morning, we'll, before the kids open any of the gifts, we'll get out the Bible and we'll read from Luke in chapter 2, and it's become certainly a tradition in our family and helps to focus on the birth of Christ. But I want to read just a little bit out of this passage this evening. And so if you found your place, I invite you to stand if you're able to this evening. Luke in chapter 2. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 8, where the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." I like that part. It's to all people. What a great blessing. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The Bible says in verse 18, All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They wondered about the message that had been just given to them by the shepherds. Is it true? Has the Messiah truly come? But I want to focus on verse 19 tonight as our text, where the Bible says, But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I want to examine Mary for a little bit tonight, and with a message simply titled, Mary's Ponderings. Mary's Ponderings. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, we do come before you tonight. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for what we can learn from it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we open up your word and as we examine once again this Christmas story. Lord, the different people that are involved in it and how you worked in their lives. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to gain learning tonight and gain understanding. Lord, I pray that you'd help me as I preach. I pray for those that'll listen tonight, Lord, that you would help us to, as the Holy Spirit applies it to our lives, Lord, that we would just be different, Lord, than when we came because of the result of your word. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us now. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen, and you can be seated. The Bible says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. When I was reading this passage, I was thinking this thought, what a difference a year's time had made in Mary's life. She looks back at what God had done. 1 year ago, she was a single girl with aspirations of marrying Joseph. Now she's married to Joseph, and she has a little child 1 year later. But this is no ordinary child. This is the sinless Son of God. He's conceived through miraculous circumstances. And I just can imagine Mary as she's there that night and she's looking at that baby that's lying in the manger and she's thinking about all that God has done. In the last year, she's been visited by angels. She's had a part in the fulfillment of the Old Testament messianic prophecies. I can imagine as just a little girl as she was being raised by her parents, possibly they would have told her, Mary, one of these days God is going to choose someone to be the earthly mother of the Messiah. And now a year later, here she is, and yet we look at these, and none of these things could she have imagined a year ago. None of these things, as she looked back, none of this would have been on her radar as far as things that would happen to her. And can you imagine her reflection that night? Her ponderings that night as she looks at that baby? As she sees that all that God has done, listen, I truly believe she's beginning to put it all together. She's watching how God has led her to this place. The Bible says the shepherds have just left the stable. They've been there, they've come and seen that, and they've no doubt told her about the angels that announced Christ's birth there. And the Bible says they've gone away from the stable, and everywhere they go, they're telling people about the Messiah. And the Bible tells us there in verse 17 or verse 18, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They're wondering, are these shepherds crazy? They saw angels, they've gone, there's a baby in a stable, they say he's the Messiah. True, is this really what's, I mean, they're wondering, could this really be the case? And I love it because they're in the stable. Mary's not wondering. She knows exactly what has taken place. She understands what God has done and how God has used her, and she's holding the sinless Son of God. And verse 19 says, she kept all these things. She pondered them in her heart. Because I don't want you to miss that tonight. Understand, listen, that God has preserved his word for us. He's given his word. Listen, there's nothing in the Bible that's just filler. God would have us to learn from everything that is there. And so certainly there's a lesson for us to learn here tonight in this idea of Mary just pondering what God had done in her life. That word ponder means to weigh in the mind, to consider and compare the circumstances or the consequences of an event. It's taken from Webster's 1828 dictionary, and they pointed to this very passage as the interpretation for that word. The idea of weighing in the mind, considering and comparing the circumstances or the consequences of an event. Mary was pondering the event there. The event was the birth of Christ. The circumstances, simply this, miraculous. There's no other explanation for what has taken place here. She considers the event that God has done. It's the birth of Christ. The circumstances surrounding it, these are miraculous circumstances from the very beginning of that journey. And in other words, I look at it this way. As she pondered these events, as she reflected on these events, she no doubt saw God in every part of her journey. From the time that God had called her and an angel came to her and said, this is what's going to happen to you. All the circumstances that she would go through in the last year leading her up to this place. Listen, can I tell you, she could look back and she could see God in every part of that journey. God leading her. From the very time that she was told to the time that he led her to go to her cousin Elizabeth's house and to spend some time there, and as God would have sent an angel to help Joseph believe, and all the stigma that might have been surrounded during this time. And yet she saw God in every part of the journey. I want you to understand something tonight. As Christians, we are called by God to follow him on a journey that's called his will. God has plans for our life. God has a direction that he wants to take all of us, and yet he calls us to step out in faith to follow after his will. We see this was God's will for Mary here in this passage. In fact, I want you to turn over to Romans in chapter 8 because I want you to see this tonight. Romans in chapter 8. We'll be back in Luke in chapter 2 in here in just a few moments, so keep your place there. But Romans chapter 8. The Bible says there in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God has given to us the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us in this life? Listen, as we live this life, we battle the flesh. We battle the infirmities that we have. And so when we were saved, God placed within you the Holy Spirit to help you as you battle the flesh and as you go through this life. He says there in verse 26, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Can I tell you that sometimes when I'm directed, when I try to pray, sometimes I don't necessarily want to pray according to the Father's will. Sometimes in my circumstances that I find myself in, I find myself, listen, sometimes wanting to take the easy path. Sometimes God's will isn't the easy path. And so the Spirit leads us and directs us sometimes when we don't know how to pray, when we don't know what to pray for. He says there that the Spirit help us, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God works with the Holy Spirit in your life to help you to understand or decipher what is the mind of God. As you yield to the Holy Spirit and his leading in your life, you see God begin to lead you and guide you and direct you. The Bible says, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God has a will for each and every one of our lives, and sometimes that will takes us through circumstances, listen, that we would not have necessarily chosen if it was our job to choose. I think about Mary and this journey that God would take her on. If she would have known all that would take place along the way, she might have had some fear. She might have said, I don't know that I'm capable of doing this, but as she stepped out and she followed in God's will, God led her along a path. The Bible goes on to say there in verse 28, I love this verse, because the Bible says, we know, we have a confidence that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. As you step out in faith and as you follow God's will for your life, let me tell you, it's going to take you down some difficult roads from time to time. And yet the Bible says, listen, as we love God, as we're following after God, and as we're going down those roads, those difficult roads sometimes, that God will work all those things out for our good and for his glory. Listen, Mary's a living testament to this as she's there in the manger, there in the stable, and she's looking at that manger and that baby. She's understanding where she was at one point and where she is now. And she's seeing God has led her down the path that she's on. And that sometimes it may have been a difficult path, and yet God used those things for her good and for God's glory. Listen, I hope you take time periodically on your journey as you live the Christian life to reflect on what God has done in your life and what God continues to do. I hope that sometimes we'll just set aside and just sit and ponder some of the things that God has done in our lives. Where he's brought us from. Look back and see the journey and look back and see some of the difficult paths and some of the difficult places that you were once on and that you watched God provide for you and God meet a need for you and just reflect back on the journey of what God has done in your life. And listen, I tell you, I believe that's what Mary was doing in that stable that night. As she was keeping these things and as she was pondering them in her heart, I believe she was just seeing God in this journey that he had brought her, if you want to put it this way, from point A to point B, where she's at now. And listen, I believe the Bible gives us some insight on maybe some things that she might have reflected on that night. I want you to go back to Luke in chapter 2, because I want you to see maybe some thoughts that ran through her head that night. The first thought is this: the Lord has a plan and a purpose for all his children. I believe that may have been a reflection that she had or a pondering that night. The Lord has a plan and purpose for all of his children. Isn't that a wonderful thought tonight to think? That the God of creation, the God of all eternity, he formed you. He placed in your life a gifts and abilities, a personality, a path, a place in which you would be born and a family to which you would be born. God has a plan and a purpose for all his children. I'll just go back to Luke in chapter 1 and verse 30. The Bible says there in verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. What a special announcement that would have been. That angel comes to her and says, Mary, you have found favor with God. It says in verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. To think that Mary was handpicked by God. I tell you, Mary wasn't well known. In fact, outside of her family, probably very few people knew who she was. She goes on later in chapter 1 to speak about the low estate that God found her in and how God had raised her and how God would do this special thing. She was a very humble lady according to the scriptures and according to the words that we see there in the scriptures. Understand, she wasn't groomed by mankind. She was simply chosen by God according to his plan. I tell you, I truly believe this was the purpose for which Mary was created. To be the mother of Jesus, to follow God in this journey, in this will that he placed in her life. And the Bible says in Galatians in chapter 4 and verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. In the fullness of time, listen, God's timing and God's plan was perfect in Mary's life. God had a plan and a purpose for which she had been created. Can I remind you tonight that God has a plan for your life? We ought to reflect on that idea tonight. That the God of all creation has a plan for which you were created. He's got a purpose for your life. That ought to excite us tonight to realize, listen, I'm not just on this earth taking up space, and I'm not just on this earth just fulfilling my time until I die. No, God has a plan and a purpose for which you've been created. Can I tell you this? If you're following God's plan, God's timing will be perfect. The way God does things sometimes leaves us scratching our heads. And yet, if we're following God's plan, God's timing will be perfect. And then I love this thought. Listen, the fulfillment of God's plan in your life simply takes trust in Him. Just a simple trust. In fact, look at verse 38. The Bible says, and as this angel came to Mary there in chapter 1, Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." And watch this. "Be it unto me according to thy word." Just simple trust. Just stepping out in faith and saying, "Okay, God, I don't understand everything that you're wanting to do here, and I don't understand all the circumstances. I certainly don't understand the journey that you're going to take me on and the timing and the roads that I'm going to go down. But, God, I'm simply willing just to be trusting in you." Listen, have you ever said to God, "Why now? Why this? This certainly wasn't what I had planned for my life. I'm not sure the timing is that great of timing right now." Can I tell you that God's plan and His timing is always perfect in our lives? And it just simply takes trust. I look back in my life and I look back and see specific moments. Especially as I've been married to my wife, there have been journeys and there have sometimes been times of difficulty for us. And maybe if we had to choose, we would not have chosen to go down those roads. And yet now looking back, you know what we can see? We can see God's hand in that. And just trust as we followed Him in faith and just Him leading us and guiding through it. And I'm so thankful for His plan and His timing, because it teaches me that I can trust Him. Mary learned through God's plan for her life that she could trust Him completely. There's some times that we need to remember what God has done in our life. The plan that God has worked already to this place, to bring us to this place. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." Don't choose the path that you would choose. Follow after the plan and the path that God has for you. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. As I think about Mary, I think that there was a time in which she said, "Listen, I don't know, this isn't my plan, but I'm just simply willing to trust Him." And we find that one of the things that perhaps Mary thought about that night, one of the ponderings that she had possibly as she looked into that baby, is this idea that the Lord has a plan and a purpose for all His children. Another possible reflection. These are here in the Christmas story. I don't believe I'm reading into this, but perhaps she thought about this as she looked at that little baby there in the manger. God is the God of the impossible. That, by the way, is a quote from the angel found in chapter 1 and verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." What a powerful truth for us to understand tonight. That we serve a God who can do all things. I believe possibly the words from the angel maybe resonated in her head as she went along this journey over the last 9 months and leading her to where she is today. And she's understanding, listen, remember what the angel said, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." She watched God do that which was impossible. Time and time again on this journey, she saw her cousin Elizabeth conceive in her old age, that which would have been impossible. She saw, of course, the angel come to her and speak to her. She saw there that when she went and visited her cousin, Before she even told her cousin that she was with child, the Holy Ghost came upon her and the baby inside the womb leaped. I mean, something that would not have been a natural thing. She certainly saw the come to fruition, the idea of that baby being born, that Christ the Messiah, something that would have been impossible. She saw those shepherds, or she heard of the angels coming to the shepherds and giving them that announcement. And all these things were things that she could reflect on and see what God did. And again, as you and I reflect on our lives, as we look back, as we ponder the path that God has brought us from where we were to where we are today, no doubt we see some things that were once considered impossible that God has done in our lives. Can you look back and see some situations that at the time seemed impossible? And yet you know now that you serve a God who can do the impossible? I think about our salvation first and foremost. Listen, I tell you, salvation is a miracle in anybody's life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Listen, in your sins you were living in spiritual death. There was no life there, and yet, listen, someone prayed for you, someone brought the gospel to you, and a resurrection took place in your life. That which was impossible became possible in our salvation. In our circumstances, where you are today versus where you could be had God not intervened in your life. Did you ever stop to think about that? The road, maybe your family, the trajectory of your family at one point was moving away from God. And yet God intervened. And now the trajectory of your family is a whole new direction. The circumstances of your life, the journey of where you were versus where you are. Listen, there are many of you tonight serving in capacities in which you could never have seen yourself serving in outside of God enabling you. There's some that would get up and years ago they could say, I could never sing a special. I could never sing a solo. And yet God has enabled you to do that. Some that are teaching in classes, I've gone to many as I've had need in junior church or Sunday school. I say, hey, there's a need here. Would you be willing to fill that? And say, I don't know that I could do that. And yet as they step out in faith, they watch God enable them to do something in their lives which they once thought was impossible. Listen, what a great blessing when God enables us to do that which he's called us to do. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And listen, when we reflect on what God has done, we're reminded of what he is capable of doing. As we reflect, as we ponder back on our lives and see where we were and what God has done, where he's brought us from, we are reminded of the spiritual victories that we've seen in our lives. Listen, not through any greatness of our own, but through that which God has done in our lives. And that's important. Because when you're faced with difficulty again, you remember that God is the God of the impossible. It's important to reflect. It's important to ponder on the path that God has brought you on and watch God do some wonderful things in your life, some spiritual victories, so that you might look back and see that God did that which was impossible. Listen, in a life of following God, we're guaranteed some things. We've been studying in the book of James sometimes on Sunday nights. We're guaranteed that we're going to go through difficult times. There are going to be hard times as we go through this life. But we're also guaranteed that we have the presence of God in each and every one of those situations. We're guaranteed that we have the power of God working on our behalf as we're following after his plan for our lives. And he brings us through that which is impossible. And understand, listen, that you may be facing maybe something in your mind that looks like it's an impossibility. Maybe there's something on the horizon and you may not know all the details just yet, but you realize I may be facing something that's very difficult. In fact, it looks like it might be an impossibility. Can I tell you, God is not limited by the things that we are limited by. And we just simply need to trust him. Just a simple faith and a trust in God, who, by the way, has given us every reason to trust him. We look back on the journey and we see where we were and where we are now. We see that we serve a God which can do that which is impossible. And finally tonight, possibly another reflection from this story. Not only this idea, the Lord has a plan and purpose for all his children. Not only this idea of God is the God of the impossible, but I believe possibly as Mary looked down at baby Jesus there, that possibly this thought ran through her head. God loves and cares for all people. God loves and cares for all people. You realize that baby in that manger, Jesus, represented God's love for all of mankind? The Bible tells us that God alerted two groups of people, the shepherds and the wise men. To the shepherds, he gave an angelic announcement, something that could not be missed, something that could not be mistaken. They knew for sure exactly what those angels were trying to say to them that night. To the wise men, he sent a star in the sky, something a little bit more subtle, something that those men were looking for. Can I tell you, the shepherds, they represented the uneducated, the outcast, the poor. The wise men represented the educated, the elite, the wealthy. As we read the story, what a blessing that God didn't leave anybody out. From the uneducated to the educated. From those that would have been the societal outcast to those that are prominent in society. From the wealthy to the poor and everyone else in between. Simeon would say this in chapter 2 and verse 32 as he would hold that baby Jesus in his arms in the temple. He'd say this, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. That baby in the manger represented God's love for all of mankind. I believe that maybe Mary reflected on that night. Not only has God come for me and for my people, but he's come for everybody. Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, outcast, and elite. Listen, understand that God has come for everyone, but everyone comes to God in the same way. Simple, childlike faith and trust in him. Listen, as Mary reflected on her journey, as she kept all these things, as she pondered them in her heart, I believe one word or possibly one phrase may have permeated in her mind. I can trust God with everything. I can trust God with everything tonight because of the journey that he has taken me on. Can I tell you tonight, as a Christian, God desires that you would get to that place in your life. That you would simply say, okay, God, I realize I can trust you with everything. No matter what you desire to do in my life, no matter what your will takes me to in this life, whether it's a difficult journey or whether it's an enjoyable journey, either way, listen, God, I just want to trust you and I just want to follow you. And I'll tell you this, God will take you down some difficult paths, but God will be with you every step of the way. And you'll have more joy in that journey than in any type of journey that you could produce within yourself. We as Christians must get to a place where we can trust God with every part of our life. Let me ask you this question tonight. What if God chooses to allow a tremendous sickness in your life in the next year? As we look at Mary's journey, listen, much of it took place within the space of 1 year. She could never have imagined where she was at one point and where God would bring her to. We don't know what a new year holds. What if God chose to take you on a tremendous sickness next year? Let me ask you this question. Could you trust him with your health? What about a major trial? What if God chooses in the road ahead to send you through a major trial in your life? Maybe everything's good right now, but on the horizon you don't see what's coming. Let me ask you this question. Could you trust God with your circumstances? Could you trust God tonight? I mean, are you ready to follow him in the journey that is his will, regardless of where it takes you? Could you trust him? What about a major step of faith? What if God is calling you right now into a major step of faith? Could be anything. Are you willing or can you trust God with your life? Listen, I want you to understand tonight that we as Christians must get to a place where we would commit 100% of our trust to Him. And no matter what the journey is, no matter what God calls us to do, that we would say, God, you have my complete trust in you. I tell you, for a human being, that's not easy to do. Because a lot of times we like to trust the things that we can see. And yet God calls us to trust Him. How can we do that? Well, we must reflect on what He's already done. Must see the journey that He has brought us on to get us from the point of our salvation, and even leading up to that, to where we are today. How good He's already been. Reflecting on that. Watching Him provide for you time and time again. And when we do that, listen, I completely believe this, that we'll find that we can trust Him completely. Mary there in that stable that night. The Bible says she kept all these things. She pondered them in her heart. She weighed the events and the journey that God had brought her on. And we find that as we do that in our lives, we will find that we can trust God with our life. God, if I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. As a Christian, we must come to a place where we say, God, you can have my complete faith and my complete trust. I don't know what God desires to do in your life tonight. I don't know the path that He has taken you on. But there may be someone here tonight that you say, I find myself in maybe a difficult situation. Maybe you look back on this last year and you say, this wasn't quite like I expected it to be. Maybe there's a little fear of just simply trusting God. Listen, every Christian ought to reflect on what God has done. The path that God has brought you on, and realize that you can trust God completely. Lord, as we come before you tonight, we're so thankful for your goodness. Lord, we're thankful for the story that's recorded here in Scripture, Lord, the entirety of the nativity story, and yet, Lord, this little truth that we've looked at tonight, the idea of just reflecting or pondering on the things that you've done in our lives. And realizing, Lord, that we can trust you. And Lord, I pray that every Christian in this room tonight would get to a place where there would be 100% trust in your plan for their life. Doesn't mean there won't be fear from time to time, Lord, but there's just a simple childlike faith and trust in you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name I pray, amen.